From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Wednesday, January 29th, and here are today's headlines. Governor Phil Scott says his proposed budget for the state government aims to create a more affordable Vermont. The Scott administration's plan for fiscal year 2026 would restructure how the state handles housing, public safety, and education. Speaking inside the House chamber yesterday, Scott said Vermonters want lawmakers to improve broken systems, not just fund them.
This session, we have an incredible opportunity and a clear mandate to fix the underlying structural issues that make Vermont unaffordable and make it harder to keep and attract the workers we need.
To keep property taxes flat, Scott's budget proposes using $77 million in one-time funds and getting rid of Vermont's recently enacted universal school meals law. Vermont's congressional delegation says President Trump's decision to freeze funding for federal grants and loans will cause, quote, devastating harm to working families across Vermont. The Trump administration says it's pausing funding while it looks for policies that don't align with the president's priorities. In a statement, Representative Becca Ballot and Senators Bernie Sanders and Peter Welch called the freeze an unconstitutional move toward authoritarianism. They said it would impact children and older Vermonters who rely on meals programs and other social services. Meanwhile, Vermont officials are trying to figure out how state-managed programs might be impacted by the freeze. Douglas Farnham was appointed Vermont's chief recovery officer following the 2023 summer flooding and says state officials are waiting to see whether the pause applies to disaster recovery efforts. They say state-managed programs like buyouts and municipal public assistance can keep going as long as the freeze doesn't go longer than a few months.
And we have been seeing projects be obligated and money be moved most weeks from FEMA. So no new towns would be getting disbursements from FEMA in the short term for public assistance, and that would kind of pile up.
The order was scheduled to go into effect at 5 p.m. yesterday, but a federal judge temporarily blocked it minutes before that deadline. The injunction lasts until Monday afternoon. Advocacy groups are still unpacking the impacts of another one of Trump's recent moves, an executive order last week regarding gender and sex. The order says the federal government recognizes only two sexes, male and female, and it discounts the idea of someone's gender identity not matching the sex they're assigned at birth. Meg York is with Family Equality, a national nonprofit that advocates for LGBTQ+ families. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, she said the executive order is aimed at federal agencies, so Vermonters still have the right to affirm their identity through government channels.
So in Vermont, we offer MF or X on identity documents. And in terms of state-based documents like driver's licenses, you can still get your gender marker changed here in Vermont. And it's really important to know that this executive order doesn't affect that.
A federal inmate has sued to block part of the executive order, which also requires transgender women to be housed in male prisons. A new economic report indicates tourism in Vermont continues to rebound from the pandemic, with nearly 16 million visitors spending a record $4 billion in the Green Mountain State in 2023. The report was released Monday by the state's Department of Tourism and Marketing, and it shows that visitor spending in 2023 amounted to over 9% of Vermont's gross domestic product, with the majority of visitor dollars spent on lodging, food and beverages, and retail shopping. In a first, the report shows county-specific data, like how visitors spent over $1 billion in Chittenden County alone, and that 10% of Windsor County workers are employed by the tourism sector. Coming up, some of Vermont's oldest and smallest cemeteries would fall into disrepair if not for the volunteer efforts of a few local neighbors who help with the upkeep. We meet one of them in East Putney in an excerpt from Brave Little State after this.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency, where support comes from VITA, supporting business growth and innovation in the Green Mountain State. From agriculture to manufacturing, energy to food production, find solutions that turn your business dreams into reality. Visit veda.org and see how VITA can help make it happen.
There are more than 2,000 cemeteries in Vermont. Some are managed by religious institutions and private nonprofit groups, some by towns. But some of Vermont's oldest and tiniest cemeteries would fall into disrepair if it weren't for the care of a neighbor. On the latest episode of Brave Little State, reporter Sabine Pooks visited one such neighbor in East Putney.
So here we are.
Wow.
Betsy McIsaac lives on a farm in East Putney.
out the road from the town offices, up on a hill overlooking the Connecticut River. There's a farmhouse, a barn, and a teeny tiny cemetery.
Five stones. That's the oldest one over in that corner.
And this is all the Aplins.
They're all Aplins, yep.
Aplins. That's the family that's buried here on Betsy's land. That's because before it was ever Betsy's land, it was the Aplins. Their family came from Rhode Island in 1789 and settled here in East Putney. They farmed the land and lived in the farmhouse, and the earliest Aplins are buried here.
And they lived here, the Aplin family lived here until the late 60s. So 175 years the family was on this property.
Even though Betsy isn't part of the Aplin family, she took up the mantle of caring for their dead when she moved back to Putney 20 years ago.
It was the first thing I did after we closed on the property. It was like the first maintenance thing that I did. I don't know why, for some reason, I was just really drawn to it.
At that time, some of the headstones had fallen off their bases. Betsy did some research and found out how to use epoxy to glue it all back together. She ended up at a highway product store in Chicopee, Massachusetts, to get it.
It came in 5-gallon containers, and so I had these 2 5-gallon containers of this epoxy.
Not everyone who lives next to a cemetery would be so willing to drive down to Chicopee like Betsy did. But this idea that there are some people out there who might have the time, energy, and interest to take care of a tiny cemetery, it's catching on. And it could be the solution to a common Vermont problem. As it stands, many towns have an abundance of old gravesites that they're supposed to take care of. But they can't find enough volunteers to run for local cemetery commissions or to volunteer for group cleanup days. That's why Putney and some other Vermont towns are asking willing residents to adopt cemeteries or take on their care, like Betsy's done.
If I didn't take care of it, nobody would.
Betsy says there aren't any Aplins in town anymore, but she's had members of the family stop by to visit the house and the cemetery.
They love to come. And I know that the family, the generation that were the last to grow up here, really love coming back.
When they walk around the property remembering, she follows close behind. It makes her feel more connected to the land and to the Aplins.
In some ways, I feel like an extension of the family.
One member of the family, Pauline, visited a while back. She grew up in the house and has since died.
This is the letter.
Betsy's kept a letter Pauline wrote her after her visit. I ask her to read it out loud.
So it's dated October 2nd, 2006. Hello, Betsy. We all wanted to thank you for spending the time with us on the farm. It's so nice to know that you folks appreciate the farm so very much and that you didn't mind our taking up so much of your time. Here are some of the pictures we wanted you to have.
Pauline tucked several photos of the house and her family into the envelope with the note. In it, she describes the pictures, like one of her family of 9 sitting in front of the house. She talks about a time her dad hit a baseball through the milk house door.
You bet he made a home run. Keep up the good work, and we hope to get down there again sometime. If only the walls could talk, you could learn so much history of all we Aplins. Thanks so much, Pauline. P.S. Enjoy the pictures. It's good to know we will all be home again, if only in a picture. Like, that chokes me up.
For Vermont Public, I'm Sabine Pooks.
That was an excerpt from a recent episode of Brave Little State, the show that answers your questions about Vermont. Listen and subscribe for free at bravelittlestate.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Adia Golston, Kevin Trevelin, Elodie Reed, Anna Berg, and Jen Jarecki. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.